Our text is Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7 and verse 21 through 23. Now later, we're going to look much later in the message at Hebrews chapter 12. That'll probably be about the 3 hour mark, if not earlier. Hebrews chapter 12 and John chapter 2. Okay, Hebrews 12 and John 2 will be we'll hit there as well. But right now, is Matthew chapter 7. You know, I shared with you a Baptist bulletin blooper earlier. I had one other one I read, and I've been saying, should I really read this? I decided that I would. Now, it takes place in a rural farming community, so you'll understand this. But it says, John Smith reports that Mrs. Smith has been sick. And though many would like to drop by to take a look at his prize-winning sow, please do not come by to see the hog until she's feeling better. They could have worded that better, you know? I think that's when the pastor blames his wife or somebody else for that in the bulletin. I don't know, but I saw that and I had to have a good laugh from it. Okay, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now shall we pray. Father, we want to rightly divide your word, but I'd also pray that there's one in here that is not saved. There may be some that say, well, I'm all right. I think that if I die today, that heaven is my home, but they're not really sure. Or maybe they're not saved at all and think they are. But whatever the need is, I pray thy Holy Spirit would do it. You've impressed upon my heart for this month to preach these type of sermons. And I pray thy Holy Spirit would show us the reason for that as we progress into this message today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Our title today is Religious, Repaired, Rejected. And that stands really as the outline of this sermon. I remember hearing preachers during revival meetings make this following statement. I don't believe that most people in our churches today are saved. I've heard others say that I believe that as many as 50% even in our fundamental independent Baptist churches are not saved. And so those are startling things when you say somebody's not saved. That means they're headed to hell. And of course, we're born headed to the eternal lake of fire, every one of us. No one's exempt from that. And so when we think about them saying in church, and as many as 50%, and you know, they could be right, particularly if you look up in this same chapter in verses 13 and 14, where he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So that may lend some credence to what they're saying. Now, let me also say this. I really don't know of any poll that was taken where they went through the plan of salvation with church after church after church to come up with their numbers. It's probably just a guess on their part. Now, we're told that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart in 1 Samuel chapter 16. There is judging a tree by its fruit. Now, when you look at Matthew chapter 7, most people look at those first three verses and it says, judge not. And they build a whole lot of things on that. But this very same chapter clarifies what it means when you get down to verse 15. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, you've got to judge if one is a false prophet. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? What does he mean by that? Simply this. If I'm driving down the road and I look and I see an orange tree, I can't look inside the root system of that tree. You can't just cut inside a tree, saw it off, and let me see nothing else and say, what kind of tree is that? I would have no idea. But if I drive by and I'm driving by an orange grove and I see an orange tree, I say, that is an orange tree. Now, if we handled that the way some people handled the Bible, then they would say, you shouldn't judge. You have no right to call that an orange tree. It's an orange tree. Its fruit shows that it's an orange tree. He says, even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Now, you've got to look at the fruit to judge. That's how you judge a tree. Look at the fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You say, well, what kind of fruit are they to have? The fruit of the Spirit. Aren't we told in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth? And all of that, whether it's goodness, righteousness, or truth, will be holy. So that's one of the ways you can look and say, is that preacher? Is he the right kind? Is he a false prophet or not? If he's an anything goes preacher, you'll know he's a false prophet. You'll know he's a false prophet. Not because I say so, but because the Word of God tells us. Now, we don't judge motives of the heart because we can't see the heart. But we can judge actions, what we see, and we can judge words, what we hear. Okay? We can judge that. Anyone who says there are many roads to heaven, that person is not saved. Again, not because I say so, but because the Bible lets us know they have not accepted the doctrine of Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. In the book of 2 John, verse 9, it states, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, when somebody says there are many roads to heaven, they're actually preaching Hinduism, because Hinduism has many gods, and Jesus would be one of them. But Jesus says, I am the way, and there's no other way. There's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. So that, with that backdrop, now let's look at our message today. And first of all, let's see the religious. You've got to understand, profession is not possession. For the last 50 years, we've been trying to reach the world with the gospel. But that is not God's plan. You heard me right. We've been trying to reach the world with the gospel, but that is not God's plan. Instead, his plan is seen in Mark 16, verse 15, where he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, the person that's out to just reach the world is the person who often turns to trusting the flesh. He's compromising with the world, and in time, he has Rick Warren's methods or message or music or parts of it becomes less expository in order to sound cool to his audience. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. I'm using a lot of Bible because I want you to understand this is not my philosophy. I'm trying to preach to you God's truth. Proverbs 24, 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Here's a preacher. Remember false prophets? Here's a preacher. At one time, he took strong stands. He preached against the wave of the day. He preached against the music and the immorality, and on we could go down the line of things that he preached against. He had standards. He preached modesty. He preached separation from the world. Now he's changing. And now he's allowing some of those things to come in. That's the person that's being addressed in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. Don't meddle with them. Get away from them. Those that are given to change. Again, that's the Bible. Just remember, in a few years, when someone else comes out and writes a new book and everybody's buying it, they're going to change again. I've been living just long enough now to see that happen several times. Somebody writes a new book. Oh, that's what we got to do. God's given us everything in his book. He has. All we got to do is follow it. So, Lord, Lord is professing, but not necessarily possessing. Now, notice the text. They're saying, Lord, Lord. But who are they saying that to? Well, they're saying that to God. Their terminology is right. However, their faith might be in their terminology, not in Jesus Christ. Hey, I prayed the right prayer. I got baptized, man. I mean, that ought to count for something. And essentially, their faith is in their works, not in the person and work of Jesus Christ for them. They'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. That is, they will not go to heaven at death. For the kingdom of heaven is in heaven. Now, on earth, I'm not trying to get anybody into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you have to be saved, and then I can shoot you in the head, and then you go to heaven. I'm not trying to get anybody into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible gave me and gave you the same responsibility to go and preach the gospel. And we get them in the local church. We are to build local churches. That's the way the gospel told us to do it. We need to do it God's way. But he that doeth the will of my Father, he adds there. He that doeth the will of my Father. Well, what is that will? Again, we go to the Bible and we see the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. And he said unto them, thus it is written. Now, remember, every word of this Bible is God-breathed. So this is written by God. So this sent, you better wake up and pay attention to this. He says, it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission, that is forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, let me just camp here for just a moment on this word preached. The same Greek word is also translated herald. And what it's picturing for us is the town crier. He gave a message exactly as it was written or given by the king. He gave that message to either the town or he gave it to an individual. But he was a herald. He went out and heralded the message of the king. That's why we're all called to be witnesses. We're all called to preach the gospel, in that we're all to take the message of the word of God as it is, the way of the gospel, and give it to men. And so that was his responsibility. The King of Kings wants us to preach or herald the gospel as it is. Don't change it. Don't water it down so that people will like us. People have to see their sinners headed to hell before they can be saved. I had to. You that are saved had to. And anyone else has to. In 2 Peter 3:9, he says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will then is that all should come to repentance. Our text, he that doeth the will of God, that's the one that goes to heaven. What does that will begin with? Repentance. In verse 22 of our text, he gives three things that seem pretty good. They prophesied in his name. You say, boy, that's pretty good if you're preaching in the name of Jesus. Well, Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, Catholics, and a host of others preach in his name. Are they going to heaven? Well, not if they hold to the doctrine they proclaim. They're not. They're not. And secondly, because then they have not done the will of the Father. We see another group here. It says they not only preached in his name, but secondly, they say they have cast out devils. Now look, that's a notable miracle, to cast out devils. They did it. And they did it in the name of Jesus. And it says, number three there, they have done many wonderful works. And what is the amazing thing here is that the Lord does not dispute any of these claims that they make. But Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They think they've worked and they deserve heaven. Now, let me be clear that I specify this. I do not believe in a works salvation, but I do believe in a salvation that works. If you've been saved, you want the gospel to be preached everywhere. And if you don't want to hear the gospel preached, and you don't want people to preach it, and you don't want to witness it, then you better examine yourself and see whether or not you are in the faith, because faith works. I'm not saying you're not saved, but I'm saying examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Better be sure. Verse 23 shows that they were only religious. He says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He does not say, I used to know you, but I don't really know you now. Doesn't say that. The word never in the Greek, you know what that Greek word means? Never. Okay. It means never. That means he never did know them. It was, I used to know you, but hey, nothing with you anymore. No, that's not what it means. I never knew you. He never knew them in a personal relationship with Savior. As a matter of fact, the word know in there, knew. Do you realize that it is the same word that would speak of a very close personal relationship? Maybe you have a best friend. And man, you just know how each other thinks, and your best friends. It was also used to describe the relationship between husband and wife. And so it's the idea of knowing them in that manner, that you know them so well. It's a heart-knitted relationship. It is an intimate relationship. You see, you can have a knowledge of God's Word. You can have a knowledge about things of the Lord, just like a man can have a superior knowledge of the life of Abraham Lincoln, but not really have a personal relationship with Abraham Lincoln. He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And boy, the important word in that little phrase is the word work. Work. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says that all our works and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And he was speaking of religious work. Now, since my works that I devise in my mind, this ought to get me to heaven. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. This ought to work. I'm doing that. I'm doing it religiously. but not submitted to Christ, then my works are as iniquity. You see, I've got to come to Jesus Christ, and it's not my work that gets me into heaven. I've got to realize I'm a sinner that deserves to go to hell, and I can't do anything to get myself to heaven. Repentance is turning to the Lord and saying, God, I can't save myself. I don't know what to do. I want my sin removed, but I try and I can't do it. You turn to Him, and He takes your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to humble yourself and admit, I'm a sinner, and I deserve to go to hell, and I want to be saved from my sin. It's that simple. It's that simple. You place your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the propitiation, that is, the full payment for all sin you ever have or you ever will commit. The depart from me, unfortunately, will be the last words that many religious people will hear before they're cast into that eternal lake of fire. Can you see that this teaching is plainly telling us that there are religious people? I mean, Matthew 7, 21 through 23 is telling us that there are religious people who are going to go to hell. And they did good works. Don't forget, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 that Cornelius was a good man, did many wonderful good works, but he had to repent and believe the gospel. Now we can turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8, because there, after religious, we want to look at repaired. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8, we read the following. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint, that means don't quit, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth, that word scourgeth means he flogs with a whip, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If he endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. These verses takes us back to John chapter 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, if you'll notice in those two verses, sons, Lord, other words, he is Father, he is Lord, that speaks of the position that he has in the life of a believer. And when you're receiving him as your Savior, you're giving him that position in your life. That's the idea. That is there with it when you receive him. In this Hebrews text, he uses the words children and son. What? The father has a responsibility to rear a child. Does the father choose his children? You always hear people say, well, you know, those children didn't choose to be born to your family. That may be true. But the parents might have had a different idea of what they thought their child was going to be. That goes both ways. I'm just saying that because that's one of the most ridiculous things that a person says. No, those children didn't choose to be born. And you didn't choose that to be the exact one that you wanted. Okay? So forget such a ridiculous and ignorant argument. Now, the father has responsibility to rear those children. He must discipline, he must teach, he must counsel. That's why we're told that there is no counsel against the Lord. God does not force anyone to receive him as their Lord and Savior. But when they realize that He is Lord and God and their only hope and that He's good, then it's ignorant to not receive Him. He will chasten and He will scourge His own. And He says, if ye endure chastening, your spiritual life, after you're saved, you're one of His, but your life is repaired by God. You have a child that starts doing the wrong thing. They lie about this, they lie about that, and you get them in a pattern of lying. There's chastening, and then there's scourging. Spanking the child. Making the pain of the punishment greater than the pleasure of telling lies. And you begin to repair something that should not be in their life. You begin to repair something about their spiritual life. And that's what the Lord does for us. You'll never cease being His child. I never cease as many spankings as I got. I think He had a belt up there that said, I need thee every hour. But as many as I received, I never ceased being His child. But it's your response that will determine if His righteous chastening and scourging benefits you. Never quit when you're going through chastening or just through trial. Never quit. Those that rebel get mad at God as a child who thinks they're owed a living. And the Lord says those kind are sickly and some die early. But verse 8, notice it there again in Hebrews 12. He says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, that is, all children, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now, that's a very strong word, but you don't change that word. It means it needs to be understood that that is the magnitude of this statement in that passage. If ye are without chastisement, which word shows we were part of the group, we're religious, we're at the church, but not saved. When you can live disobediently continually to the Word of God and not be chastened or scourged by God, you are not saved. You never were. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, lets us, you've got a group of people there that were religious, but they weren't saved. If you're saved, you're chastened, but also know that as a father, He rewards His children for good. But understand this, a lot of you growing up, you had chores. And sometimes you got to, in my day, it was 15 cents. But you got 15 cents for doing your chores that week. It got raised to a quarter. But that's what it was. Now, you didn't get the quarter till it was over. You had to do the chores ahead of time. You say, what? Is it benefiting me to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm persecuted. Oh, look. The glory that awaits is so great that the suffering here is not even worthy to be compared into the greatness that we have up there. And that's not from me, that's from the Word of God. A heart relationship seeks the Lord via the Word of God. And by the way, you will find that He equips you to do whatever He wants you to do. So after religious and repaired, we finally see rejected. And that is in John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, the last passage for my main points. This is rejected. Now in John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, understand this is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself that is speaking. He says, now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. They believed in his name, but he knew what was in their heart. Now, the word know there, knew, is the same as know that we've already discussed as intimately as a husband and wife know one another. It's the best friends know each other. That's the idea there of the word know. He knew what was in their heart. You see, they wanted to be free of the Romans, but they did not want to be submitted to God. As men, they didn't think about, boy, I want the Lord to treat me as his son. No, that wasn't it at all. It's kind of like men that say, I don't want to go to hell. Who does want to go to hell? We all want to go to heaven. But the problem is, people don't want their sin taken away. They enjoy it. And they don't want to submit themselves to the Lord as a father and son. And so we go back to that word again of repentance. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, it says, excuse me, testifying to both the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God. You can't take away the sin from you. You can do some reformation in your life and sin less, but you can't take your sin from you. That is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so you turn to God to cleanse you of your sin. Faith is making Jesus Christ your Lord. Trusting that the provision of his shed blood, paying your penalty on the cross and my penalty for all sin, for all time, who rose bodily from the dead 3 days later, we're trusting that and that alone for our salvation. My friend, by the word of God, that is the way to salvation. Jesus said in Mark 8, verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? What would it mean to lose your soul? You know, it'd be a terrible thing to lose your eyesight, to go completely blind, to lose your hearing completely. It's an awful thing when people lose their home, their job, their health. Or when we lose a loved one to death. But my friend, the most tragic of all losses is the loss of your soul. Dying without Christ to go to an eternal lake of fire. Yet Jesus says in John 6:37 that if you come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out. Just come to Jesus. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, not every hand could go up. And I do appreciate the honesty. And yet, Lord, several hands didn't go up to say I'm saved also didn't say go up to say please pray for me. And I know my prayer doesn't save them. You save them. And they must come to you. But Lord, I pray that thy Holy Spirit would move now, remove anything that would hinder. And Lord, I pray that we'd see a great, mighty moving of thy Spirit right now in this place. Lord, if someone has something in their life right now that may be hindering the gospel, maybe it's a bad attitude, maybe it's a critical spirit, maybe it's something else. I pray that that would be confessed and forsaken even at this altar. And we'd ask that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.